Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
My name is Elena. I'm the production assistant for the Renfrew Review Moon Festival this year. It's the 21st year, and I'm really happy to be invited here to talk about our festival a little bit.
Cool. Thanks for joining me, Elena. I guess the place to begin is, what is the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival?
That is a great question. Well, there's a little bit of a short story behind that. I'm actually very new to the organization, so I actually don't know quite a lot about it, but as I got more adjusted to my job, then I realized, oh, so this is what it's about. This is what it's about. And I realize now that the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival, it's a community eco-arts festival that's been running over 20 years. And we have a lot of interaction with the community, local artists, local businesses, and we just kind of all come together and make something really magical, really artistic, and just celebrate our community and also Still Creek.
And you mentioned that you're just sort of recently a part of the festival and the Still Moon Arts Society. I think that's a good window for our listeners who might not know about the festival and who are learning about it now for the first time. What was your experience like, coming on board and then learning about the festival? And what surprised you about that, or what didn't you know going in that you do know now? I did sort of load you up with three mm-hmm. at once there. So if you want to just focus on, maybe can you describe the experience of learning about the festival and what that was like?
Oh yeah, definitely. I can definitely talk about how my experience of learning about the festival. It's kind of like being surrounded by volunteers, staff, and a bunch of people who are perhaps a lot younger than I am or a lot older than I am, but they know all about the festival way more than I do. So I can talk to maybe one of our staff or one of our contractors saying, oh, so we're trying to do this year. And then they'll say, oh, we did that in 2017. Or, oh, they did that in 2016. It's like, oh, so you all know about that already. And I'm just such a newbie to all this. So that's been a kind of an experience, but it also helps me realize how long this festival has been around and how I'm just kind of here to add another year and just to be making sure that it goes smoothly.
Right. And I'm sure another one in a long line of people who have sort of come in and joined this festival and contributed their own contributions to it while reflecting back on what's already happened. Right.
Definitely. It's like a legacy that I'm continuing. Our artistic director, Carmen, she actually went to a wedding of one of our former Still Moon volunteers. So I would say this has definitely had not just a festival, but it's become really a community in and of itself.
Yeah, that's one of the really great things about festivals and arts organizations is you get that community around everything. Is there something about this year's festival that you are particularly excited about?
Honestly, even though I do say that this has been going on for 20 years, it feels like every year there's something new that's happening. And I would just like to highlight all of our lovely artists, many of them who are newcomers to our festival coming here for the first time. They're going to illuminate the Renfrew Community Park with their lanterns and installations on the 23rd. And it's just exciting to see how they look at the space, the forest, and say, oh, we can put this here, or maybe we could try something on the ground over here. And none of us ever thought about that before. So it's really cool to have new faces, new people.
Yeah, is there... In your sort of learning about the festival and looking at, you know, the programming for this year and the artists that are coming, is there a sort of through line that you can look at that, you know, something that has sort of been a core part of the festival for the whole time?
So the theme of our festival this year is Water's Wisdom. And for our applications for our artists, we try to ask them, how does water affect your practices, or how does the wisdom of the water kind of work within you? And so the people that have answered these questions, how they're talking about the water applying to the art, I would say that's a pretty big theme that's been going through all of our artists, performers, and even our performances. For instance, our festival finale, Consciousness of Streams, which is a performance that has a lot of water elements to it.
Cool. And I know you probably don't want to necessarily pick favorites, but is there an artist or a couple artists that you're really excited about? I'm sure you're excited about everyone, but there's got to be some standouts, right?
That one is hard to say because I definitely don't want to pick biases.
Or even if it's not favorites, is there just something a couple things that you can mention, not as favorites, but just to show some examples of what people might see when they come to experience the festival?
Oh yeah, definitely. There'll be a lot of variety of artists and performers that are going to be coming to our festival, as well as workshops leading up to the festival. There'll be people who are making mooncakes. There'll be people who are doing installations with a lot of technology involved. There'll be performers from children to older adults. There'll be a lot of variety of people just bringing all of their personal stories and their own art mediums to this.
Yeah, it sounds like there's really something for everyone and kind of something by everyone as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the festival takes place over the course of the month of September. How does that work in terms of sort of timing of different events and sort of taking in the festival as a whole?
So if I were to mention every single thing that we have during the festival, it might go on for a very long interview.
Totally.
So I will say definitely visit our website, stillmoonarts.ca, for all of our events and workshops. But I would say around the beginning of the month, we have quite a few events that are free and just kind of smaller scale, and they lead up to more of our involved workshops, which are paid, but you can take home a lantern and make something really cool with one of our facilitators. And that all culminates up all the way up until the 23rd and the 29th, which is our biggest festival dates. And I would say, of course, 23rd has many parts to it. There is the Harvest Fair in the afternoon. And after Harvest Fair will be our Twilight Lantern Procession, which will be a small walk along the Lost Streams of Vancouver. And then we'll end up at our Streamside Lantern Installations, which will have a bunch of lanterns and installations lighting up the forest. So yeah, there is definitely a lot, and it is a lot of logistics to definitely have behind the scenes.
Yeah, I can only imagine, especially with the sort of participatory elements. You got to have, activities for people to come in and do, and all the materials and all of that. You've mentioned a couple different locations. You mentioned the Lost Streams of Vancouver, and the festival is called the Renfrew Ravine Festival, and we've talked about the Still Creek. Geographically, for our listeners, where are these things, and where are people going for the events?
So yeah, most of our festival takes place in the Renfrew Collingwood neighborhood, but our organization as a whole, Still Moon Art Society, we're based on Still Creek, which is one of the few remaining above-ground creeks of Vancouver. And the Lost Streams itself is actually not visible because it's called Lost Streams. It was actually the channels of water that used to run in Vancouver, but were covered over with development and such. Actually, our artistic director, Carmen, has a book that she wrote about all of this and the history of Vancouver, and it's Lost Streams. So if you want to check it out, it is on our website to peruse.
Great. Is there anything else you think listeners should know about the festival or anything that might, further entice them to take part?
I would say definitely the biggest draw might just be our Harvest Fair. We'll have a bunch of community booths. So it'll be a bunch of partner organizations coming to talk about what they do. We'll also have food and drinks on site and a curated lineup of performers that will be playing music, dancing. And we'll also have a bunch of low-cost workshops on site as well, so there is definitely something for everyone there.
Great. Thanks, Elena. You mentioned the website. Is that the best way for people to find out more information, or are there other channels they can go to find out more about the festival?
Absolutely. I would say that our website is the best starting point. That would be stillmoonarts.ca, and we also have a bunch of social medias that you can check through on the website as well.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing you and our listeners out at the festival.
Awesome. And thank you so much for having me as well.
Of course.
Thank you.
Bye.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Dear listeners, as you may have heard, Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, is blocking Canadian access to all content created by news providers, including this radio station, in response to the Online Broadcasting Act. Access to local news and information matters to everyone, and while radio stations use their airwaves to keep you informed, we also use social media to share local news, events, and initiatives, and even content about our upcoming programming. We need you to write your MP and convey your concerns. Learn more and find a letter template for your MP on our website. Thank you for your support.
So, make sure that your camera, like, keep it quite steady for a while.
If we fuck this song up, if I fuck this song up, we'll just start again. Sorry. Yeah. So if it's
stable. And then F5. Is it straight? Yeah, you're just keep an eye on that. You're good. If it looks good there. It looks good out there too. Hey, yeah. So are we good now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay.
So this is a Studio 6 session from CJSF, and we have Kamikaze Nurse in. Thank you for being here. Take it away into your first song whenever you're ready.
Thanks for having us. This is Blue Garlic Man. We'll be right back.
5 to 2.
Yay! there's some clapping outside by, like, the single person out there, but, hey, thank you so much for all of you for being here today, and for, yeah, for finally being able to make this happen. I gotta say, you know, you are one of my favorite bands in the local scene right now, and I'm not just saying that because you're the people currently in this room, so I'm very excited to have you in, finally. So let's get going on it. You just put out an album. Well, not just, but this year you put out an album called Bucky Fleur. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Oui,
oui. Cool. Great. how was the experience of writing Bucky Fleur and, like, recording it, et cetera? Oh.
Go ahead, Casey.
My final start. Sorry, there's effects on this, but maybe they'll add to the vibe. I guess, can't speak for everyone, but I feel like we got together really fast. And we just, I had like maybe like some of the songs, like 3 or 4 of the songs in my mind already. And then John and I, when we started playing, they just like were realized really fast. And then when, Ethan and Sonia joined, I felt like it went to this different place. So like side A of Bucky Fleur, I think sounds really like, you know, this is the band. And then side B, like, it's like, actually, wait, this is the band. I don't know. Yeah. Anyone else?
So maybe so the band has seen multiple configurations then. So it has been John and Casey kind of starting, and then we have Ethan and Sonia kind of joining in halfway through the process.
That's about right. So
how was, okay, so for you two, how was that? How was like coming into like something that was already like kind of half?
Yeah, I want to know how was that?
Half there and having to like kind of adapt and transform into it.
It was really cool. When I joined, there was like maybe 4 songs written or something, and just kind of dove right in and wrote some cool riffs, and it was awesome. And then I think we recorded some demos at Vivo, like,
oh, yeah,
probably 4 after our like 4th or 5th time jamming, and they sounded sick. So
yeah, it was just like a office room, yeah, with our gear, and then John had this really great idea of putting my amp in the bathroom, yeah, and then so we got some bathroom
and bathroom reverb.
Yeah. It's very natural. Very natural.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No. I joined really late. So
in like November? December?
I think like October or something. Okay. And by the time I joined, like all the bass lines were written by the previous bassist. So it's been interesting playing half the songs having kind of reworked, yeah, the songs, but still at its core, it's like a different person's part. And then have like whatever we wrote after I joined is mine, so that's been kind of cool. I like it.
Did you feel like with the specialist songs were already like kind of preconceived by John and Casey, like that you as a team effort had to like rewire them or reconstruct them in any capacity, or was it just kind of like a really natural?
Well, I play
like
the bass and nobody notices what I do.
I don't know. Whatever you make it. No.
Yeah, what about you, Casey? Did you feel like having like Ethan and Sonia join kind of?
I don't know. I felt like just immediately there was a really good chemistry. And then I think from that, like, it just felt natural and fast. And it never felt like we were stuck on a song for very long. It was kind of like, I mean, no one can see Ethan's pedal board right now, but it's like it makes the most insane noises. And I think that with the, like, we're just very complementary guitar players in this project together. Mm. And it didn't take a lot of, like, you know, formalizing. Is that a word? Formulating. You know when, like, people sit in a room, they're like, oh, yeah, we want this band to sound like this? That didn't really happen with us. I think we just kind of, like, I trust that we are all going to do really different things, but, like, over time, and I'm glad that it didn't take too much time, it'll just kind of like mesh together into its own like new thing.
I'd say that Bucky Fleur is a perfect like testament of that, actually. I think it totally has that. It has this like really chaotic energy to it, but at the same time it all kind of comes together. It has like, especially rhythm section wise, I think it's a really driving album. So speaking of songs, why don't we take it into the next song then?
Okay. This one's called Sacred Cow Hot Dog. I don't know, man. They were a bit rough this morning. Hell yeah.
Sick. This is the second tuning break, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. More questions then. So, why sacred cow hot dog? Oh.
Anyone else want to try to answer that one?
We don't know. It's your song.
Oh, shit.
You called it that.
Damn. It's, I think the answer to that is... Fuck. It's like in that, I mean, the answer's in the lyrics, I guess. I was thinking about, I guess the sacred versus the very, very unsacred. Opposite of sacred, the very base and trashy. So, like, a sacred cow made into a hot dog.
Yeah, no, the hot dogs are probably the least sacred thing in the world, so... and it seems to be like not the hot dog theme, but like these kind of really strange, ambiguous song names.